This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm back with Perry, and we're talking to old guys, I guess. We laugh at this. Talking about really, really hard questions parents ask about their adolescents, their teenage children.
And they have been hard.
Yeah.
They have been hard.
We picked some doozies, but the reason why we did is because we think that it's in the hard stuff where we really feel powerless and out of control and like we don't know what to do. So maybe with our pooling of our ideas and thoughts, you'll find something of use out of this. Today's question is, I think my teenager has lost his faith. What now?
That's a hard one. I think of all the questions that we've talked about so far, this one probably tugs at the heart of a parent more than anything. And whether you're a parent in ministry or out of ministry, and your kids lose the faith that you're trying to build into them, it's really a knife in the heart, because it could reflect significantly on you as a parent in your own journey with the Lord.
Yes.
And not always the case, but I've talked to a number of parents whose kids have struggled in their walk with God and their relationship with the Lord, and many times it's what have I done wrong and how have I failed? And obviously there's some things that we as parents can be doing to help prevent that, but ultimately it truly is in the hands of the Lord. And we need to be willing to give our kids over to God for their own spiritual wellness. But I don't know. I think when a kid walks away from the Lord, it's most likely for a pretty good reason. Especially if they've been raised in a home from birth until they choose to make this decision, they've been able to see and watch and observe. And so most likely it's coming out of a framework of their own personal observation of either the body of Christ or how spirituality is seen within the home. And I think that at that particular stage, they're making an obvious choice to walk away or to get involved in things that they know are not pleasing to God. And it's hard to deal with. It's sad to see.
I struggle sometimes with a feeling that we have this sort of cause and effect. I mean, train your child up in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we sort of take that as a promise, a guarantee, if you will, from God, that if we do all the right things and we cross the right T, all the T's and dot the I's, there will be no way on this earth that that child will not remain with the faith. And I think we set ourselves up to have a lot of trouble. And that one of the, I don't necessarily see a guarantee in that verse, but I also see that we need to let our kids question. Sometimes kids ask innocent questions and they get knocked flat for it. Right. So then it's the, I can't have questions. Well, then if I have questions, then I must not be really there.
Right.
And if, you know, then this is all a falsehood and stuff. And so, it's hard when they ask those hard questions, but we need to give them the flexibility. It is a choice that they make. It's not a choice that we make for them. It's a choice that they have to make.
Yeah, they have to own it at some point in their own life. And I think, you know, kids going into, you know, junior high and high school age, I believe even younger than that, can own their faith. And yet sometimes we as parents kind of move in on them, and our kids tend to live off of our coattails of our own spirituality and our relationships with God. And so we need to be, raising almost independent, if you will, spiritually well, kids along the way. And so that, appropriately they can see that God really works for me and, not just for you and mom and dad. And I think it's finding kind of stones of remembrances or markers in their lives where they can go back and see specific ways that God has actually showed up, not because of mom and dad, but because of who God is in their own lives. And I think, too, you know, something that has been very significant in our family is that it's not solely my responsibility. I mean, I'm a primary caregiver for my kids, obviously, sure. And their spiritual wellness, but I pray often that God would bring significant other people into the life of my child so that they can, you know, bear witness to the name of the Lord. And that sometimes, you know, if my sons would go and talk to someone else in their high school years about things that I really wanted them to talk to me about, I can feel cheated.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, I needed to get over that and say, boy, I'm thankful that they're going someplace to in a relationship that can be trusted in that particular area.
I couldn't agree more here because, you know, I think we try and micromanage our kids. Mm. And I think it makes it a lot harder when they feel that way.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I know I always choose the wrong things to micromanage. Yeah. And then I create more problems for myself. I just think of my son who's 21 and he's working out his faith and I'm really proud of him. But you know, I don't think I would have worked it out as I look at it now the same way he did. But then I look back when I was 21, I was different than I am now. I was questioning. I was more radical and wanting to do this, that, or the other thing. And I wasn't as bound by some of the stuff that maybe I learned in church when I was little. And I have to admit, I guess my parents kind of let me be that way. And then when I was over 21, it wasn't their business anyway. So I have to let him do that. Now, it's harder when they're 16 and 17. But maybe it's not that different.
Well, I think one thing that kids are looking for this, you know, and I don't think it's any different now than it was 10 or 15 years ago. I think, though, that is it real? Is faith real? Is faith authentic?
Yeah.
And if they don't see authenticity in the life of mom and dad and how they portray themselves with other people and they do in the home, especially in relationship with their relationship with God, then that's going to send some signals that are going to raise questions in their mind. And so our role model by what we say, by what we do, by how we live in front of our kids, is it consistent with how we live outside the home?
Yeah.
And if that's not the case, then we could be setting ourselves up for some struggles later on with our kids. And so I think students are looking for that. They're looking for authentic relationships. They're looking for communities of people that are authentic. And let's be honest, sometimes within our Christian communities, we're not as authentic as we need to be. And it can sometimes push kids away. That's sad to think that that's the case.
What would be, could we sort of finish this program up in the next few minutes and think kind of, okay, so we're not guessing our child really is seriously questioning and seriously moving away from his faith, his or her faith. What are two or three attitudes, parental attitudes, that we could have for our kids? One, as you said, had to do with authentic faith, trying to live an authentic life. And maybe that means be willing to own up to when you haven't been as you should.
If there are things that need to be confessed or forgiven in front of your, you know, that need to be dealt with your kids, that's essential. I know that there's many times I had to go to my kids and say, you know, I really am sorry. I didn't handle the situation well. And I know that now that they appreciated that about me. They saw that I was, I'm a sinner too, so to speak. No doubt about that. I think another thing that we can do is, I think our kids are, many of our ministry kids are living in kind of a box of judgment, whether it be through the systemic organizations that we have, the policies that we make, sometimes can come down as judgmental.
Yeah.
And I think we need to have atmospheres of grace where grace is not only received, but it's given.
Yeah.
And to be able to be parents and caregivers who can actually do that can play a significant part in the life of a child. And whether they're 8 or whether they're 18 or whether they're 28, the issue is, do you really love me or not?
Yeah.
You know, you only love me when I'm good.
Yeah.
You only love me when I'm in the box that you think I should be in my spiritual life, or do you love me when I'm outside of that? And
so true.
And then, you know, I think when our kids move away from the Lord too, I know for us in our relationship with our own kids, when we saw that, it really took us to our knees.
Yeah.
We probably needed to talk to somebody else about it. You know, we wanted some empathy from someone else that would come alongside and pray with us. But at the same time, continuing to reach out to your kids.
Yeah.
And continuing to let them know that you're there. Is important.
Well, that's great. We need to close off, and it's been great to talk here with Perry, and I hope these discussions have been helpful, and I hope they give you some hope as you process some of these things with regards to the really, really difficult issues with your own kids, whatever they may be. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.